The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Falter Ireland calculates that maybe as many as 32,000 properties that are used as short-term lets, you know, like Airbnb. And there is a belief that bringing back some of those properties into the long-term rental section would help alleviate the housing crisis. But the long-awaited crackdown legislation on Airbnbs is now set to be kicked further down the line. A plan to give government approval to reform the short-term letting sector was dropped from the cabinet agenda at the last minute, following pushback from a number of government ministers. One of those pushing back on the legislation is Michael Healy-Ray, Minister of State at the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine, independent TD for Kerry. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Pat, to you and your listeners.
Now, first of all, can you explain to us why this was kicked down the road? I mean, it was expected to be on the agenda.
Well, first of all, to be very clear, the government's policy on this is very clear. The government want to address what is their number one priority, and that is the housing scarcity and the fact that we need more houses. At the same time, then, the government doesn't want to hurt our tourism industry. Yes, it is correct to say an awful lot of homes are gone to short-term lets, but there are areas, if you talk about places like Killarney or Kinsale or Westport, there are tourism spots where we need short-term accommodation. And what the government is trying to do in a very sensible way is they're trying to do a balance. They're trying to deal with a problem, which they are doing their best to deal with, and at the same time not hurt our tourism sector. So we need short-term lets. We need the equivalent of Airbnb. But at the same time, we don't want a situation where every property that's being bought, for example, if it's in places like Dublin, Cork or Limerick, is going straight from, in other words, being taken from the long-term ordinary housing system into short-term lets. Because there has to be a balance. It's like everything in life, Pat, there has to be balance.
And all right, that's what the government but Michael, the rules that we're going to bring in, it would appear, were that it would apply to properties in towns of over 10,000 people, number one, and that would limit the availability of those properties for short-term lets to 90 days a year. It's hard to see. I mean, that takes in 3 months of the high season. People would still be able to let their properties.
Well, it does, but with 14,460 people, for instance, in the town of Killarney. Killarney is the tourism capital of the Western world, whether people like to admit that or not. You can't have a situation where you would adversely affect a town like that. But having said that, I agree that the government are doing a positive thing in trying to future-proof that properties won't be bought up and taken out of the private sector. But there is a great case and a great argument to be made for balance and trying to do both. So I don't look on this as the government kicking anything back or anything like that. The government is very clear on their policy. They want to do this, but they will do so when they'll have further work and further consideration. The minister is working very, very hard on this. The government are working hard on it. And they will deliver on what they want to do, and that is provide more housing.
Okay, now looking at if you do the simple sum, suppose a property, I don't know how much is charged in Airbnbs in Killarney, for example, but a typical property might be charging in a high tourism area maybe €200 a night. If you multiply that by the 90 days, that gives you €18,000 of an income over the 90 days. If you were to say that would be in long-term rental, it would be the equivalent of 1,500 a month for a long-term rental. And it's a very simple calculation. But if I was in that situation of wanting to let somewhere, with the short-term rentals, they're not going to be there for long enough to do harm to your property. And if they do, you've got their credit card details. Whereas if you've got someone paying 1,500 a month in the same property, generating the same income, you're subject to the RTB. If they default, you can't get them out maybe for a year. They may do untold damage for which you will not be compensated. You can see the attraction for people in going for short-term rentals rather than the long-term.
I absolutely can. And everything that you've said is correct. But the point here is that when it comes to renting out properties, there are people who are in the system of long-term lets and it doesn't suit them, or they would never want to go into short-term. My argument all along about this whole policy is that I don't actually believe personally myself that, because of the fact you might have 30,000 properties involved in short-term lets, that if there was a change in legislation, that every one of those properties will go back to what I would call long-term lets, because they necessarily won't. If you have somebody, a family, who might have worked hard, they might be at it for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, they might be at short-term letting. No matter what legislation comes in, they may very well make up their minds that, well, if we can't do short-term lets, we're not going to do long-term lets either. And the one thing you can't do is force anybody to do something with their private property that they don't want to do. So I appreciate where the government is coming from on this. But whether I'm personally convinced myself that it's going to have the desired effect, I would be doubtful. But I'm willing to work with whatever the compromise is in trying to bring what you can back into the long terms. But what you just stated there about the difference between short and long-term letting, yes, of course, long-term leasing, long-term letting, it brings difficulties, it brings problems. But there are people who are at that, they'll stay at it. There's people that are at short terms, they're at that, and you won't make them do something they don't want to do.
Now, the part of the reason that they don't want to do it, I mentioned there that in terms of the RTB, often, you know, they come down with a finding in favour of mostly the tenant, but sometimes the landlord. But there's no enforceability for the landlord if that tenant is guilty of bad behaviour or default. And often they'll, give them extensions before they have to leave the property and so on and so forth. So does the government need to do something about the RTB and the rules that surround long-term letting to encourage more people, whether by tax or other incentives, to go into long-term rather than short-term? In other words, people in the short-term pay more tax on their income than the people in long-term. Would that work?
Well, in life, Pat, you hear one side of the story an awful lot, and that is the side of the story of the tenant and what happens to them and their views on a particular situation. And at this stage, Pat, I just want to, as you know, I'm very straightforward about everything. Before I even say what I'm going to say, I want to remind people that since I was 19 years of age, I do property. I rent out property, and it's a thing I do. It's the same as diggers or anything else. It's just something that I do. So before I talk, I don't want anybody saying, oh, well, he didn't declare that, you know, that he's at this, you know. So I want to be very open about that. But there are two sides to every story. One thing that we don't hear a lot about at all, Pat, is the nightmare stories that happen with people who are renting out properties. And I'll give you an example. Recently, I had a couple that were in Australia. They bought a property. They worked very, very hard. They bought a property in Dublin. They rented out the property. They got paid for the first couple of months and a deposit. The person stopped paying. I think we're 2 years later. That couple are working very diligently below in Australia, and their house is still having no money paid whatsoever. They're paying a mortgage on a house above in Dublin, and the tenant is living happily there, paying no rent. So we don't hear those type of stories. We only hear one side of the story all the time, and people stand up on the dole, and rightfully so, they speak about tenants and tenants' rights. But you also have the small little matter of the person who owns the property, who works very hard, who borrows money, and the most important point of all, Pat, they pay 56% as a rule on the income. So when people talk rent, always remember, if a person is paying 1,000 euros in rent, the government are definitely taking over 500, maybe 540 or 560 euros of that. And people don't ever want to talk about that. And there are politicians in the Dáil who seem to forget that. They ignore it. And when they talk about high rents, they must also remember high taxation. And the biggest take out of all of rents is the actual government itself.
Now Michael, a number of people are saying, why does Michael Healy-Rae keep referring to the government as they or them? He's a member of the government. Surely he should be saying we. Sounds like he's trying to act like the opposition while having all the benefits of being a government minister, as evidence from the fact that he's just managed to delay a vital measure to address the housing crisis. What do you say to that?
I'll say to that person, I take back all the days and I'll change them to we's.
Okay. I can't say fairer than that. I have an Airbnb in a small West Cork town, but I expect that the 10,000 population figure will be changed downwards in the future. In other words, once you set that population mark in stone, it will only go down to exclude more and more people from Airbnb. The RTB is forcing landlords out of long-term rentals, and therefore they look at Airbnb instead. That's from Richard. Another one suggests we need not worry about Airbnb as tourism is about to fall off a cliff. And a final one, why should the government control my property income? We have no other source of income, only rent. Why should we be controlled on a problem not being sorted out by the government, which is its job? Final words from you, Michael.
Well, first of all, to the last person, you could say that what is happening in changing this rule or changing the legislation is that we are cannibalising our own housing stock. In other words, we're robbing Peter to pay Paul. Ultimately, what we would like to see happening in Ireland is more houses being built and quicker. But the biggest problem that I see in Ireland going forward is the judicial reviews, the hold-ups in the planning applications, the massive culture of objecting to housing developments. We have situations where we have spokespersons for political parties who individually have objected to thousands of housing applications in their own localities. They hate it when I talk about it. They hate it when I remind people that there are actually TDs inside in Dáil Éireann who have objected to not one or two. Because remember, personal people making a personal objection about something, that's one thing. But when you have TDs inside in the Dáil who have objected to over 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 houses being built in their own constituencies, you would start to walk out the door and scratch your head and say, what are they at? And that is a matter of fact. And I'd like to remind people, there are TDs inside in Dáil Éireann who have objected to thousands of houses being built. And remember, you can't cook an egg without cracking it in the first instance. And those people leave a lot to be desired, in my opinion. And they can't ever explain that one to me because they're not able to explain it.
Michael Healy-Rae, Minister of State at the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine, Independent TD for Kerry. Michael, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.